There's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
That song, What Does the Fox Say, and its video went viral on the internet some weeks ago. And last week, photos and sightings of real foxes on the UW-Madison campus kept popping up on Facebook. So we thought we would talk about foxes and other urban wildlife this hour. Why are foxes scampering around on an urban campus? And what do we want to know about fox behavior and biology? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And on our Facebook page, you will see a recent photo of a pair of foxes on the UW-Madison campus. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Wait a minute. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 20th. And if you have another question about another wild critter in your backyard, we'll accept that too. As we talk with Stanley Temple, he is the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a Senior Fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, we have done shows on different wildlife, and we've gone the whole hour, but we're not sure if we're going to have the fascination with foxes for the whole hour, so we'll open it up to other... You were suggesting maybe urban predators.
Well, I think that's interesting because foxes, hawks, and owls, and coyotes have all increased rather dramatically in recent years in urban and suburban landscapes around Wisconsin. So people are starting to come into contact much more frequently with these animals that they think of as being really wild animals that you expect to see out in more natural areas.
Yeah, and last week we had reports of a fox in a garden on the UW-Madison campus, and two foxes became instant media stars when they were spotted and photographed on the UW-Madison campus. So why do you think these foxes are causing such a stir? Is it all that unusual for them to be in an urban area like Madison?
Well, I'd say it's increasingly less uncommon. Clearly, red foxes are doing very well in urban and suburban landscapes across Wisconsin. And in recent years, their numbers in these areas seem to have increased. There are more and more reports of them settling in and living just fine, thank you, amongst us. It relates to a couple of things. First, we don't persecute these animals in the urban and suburban areas the way they might be in rural areas. So it's a safer environment for them to be close to human beings. And the urban and suburban environments really provide just about all of the requirements that a red fox would look for. There's plenty of food to eat. The habitat is right. Lots of opportunities to use a diversity of food items. Red foxes are very omnivorous. They're quite opportunistic in what they feed on. So our urban foxes in Wisconsin are often starting to edge into the niche of the raccoon in that they're raiding garbage cans and taking advantage of all kinds of opportunities for food that human beings provide.
What would they be eating if it weren't for raiding garbage cans?
Well, red foxes are omnivorous, so most of their diet is animals. It's small rodents, birds, insects. But unlike a true carnivore, they also feed on a lot of plant material. I know the foxes out here in my neighborhood at Mesa Maney seem particularly fond of things like grapes and raspberries and other types of plant material on a seasonal basis.
Yeah, there was someone on the campus who was speculating that the foxes were having a good time on the UW-Madison campus because the campus has also seen an increase in things like squirrels and mice.
That's right. And certainly there are gardens. In fact, before the foxes sort of turned up on the main part of campus, there have been foxes for a number of years out in the Picnic Point area. And, of course, the UW Arboretum a little further out has quite a healthy population of foxes.
Yeah, so our let's just do a little Fox 101 here, and it is the red fox. There are other types of fox?
Yes, the one that has been attracting all the media attention is a red fox, and that is the fox species here in Wisconsin that has shown an inclination to want to move in and occupy urban areas. The other fox that we have in Wisconsin is the gray fox. And the gray fox is more secretive. It's a woodland species. It doesn't like the types of open habitat that red foxes do. And, of course, we have the two larger canines, the coyote and the gray wolf in Wisconsin.
Yeah. The I guess people can see a picture of a red fox, but the red fox is not going to be confused with a coyote.
Well, actually, probably not, because the red fox, as its name implies, is quite reddish. It's actually the gray fox that probably gets confused with coyotes most often, because they both have that kind of gray coat.
Mm-hmm.
The gray fox, though, is a much smaller animal, smaller even than a red fox. It's the smallest canine in Wisconsin.
Now, the red fox that we're seeing on campus here will just coexist with us and be running around all winter long. They do not hibernate?
No, definitely they don't hibernate. They're very active all year round, and in fact, they're going to become quite active here in the coming month, because it's mating season.
Oh.
So things get a little lively and actually noisy. I know a number of years ago we had a vixen, a female fox, that frequented our house, and they can be quite noisy during the breeding season.
Speaking of which, we have one of the things the fox says here. So let's take a listen to what is called the vixen's scream.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
I tell you, when...
There we go again.
Yeah.
That is, that's it's almost human-like.
Yeah, well, when you hear that in the middle of the night, it wakes you up.
Now, I read that it is called the vixen's scream, and that it is usually what you hear around mating season, but it's not just the female fox that screams like that?
Well, foxes, I mean, their vocal repertoire isn't totally different than what people would be familiar with in a dog. They have a somewhat high-pitched sort of woof, 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 and a number of growls and screams, but they're not particularly vocal animals.
Oh, okay, so that's why the song "What Does the Fox Say?"
not that much, usually.
We are talking about foxes, and we'll talk about other urban and suburban predators. We are talking with Stanley Temple. He is the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So have you noticed foxes in your neck of the woods? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Have you encountered a fox, or do you have foxes living in your neighborhood? How do you feel about their presence? Is it do you delight in knowing that they're around, or do they make you feel a little nervous? We'll welcome your fox-related questions and sightings. This is the Ideas Network. That's how a fox barks. We are talking about foxes. After a lot of photos and sightings of foxes on the UW-Madison campus last week. And we're welcoming your questions about foxes and your fox sightings. Or if you have a question about another urban predator in your backyard, we'll welcome that too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Stan on Facebook says, a few winters ago, I was in the den one evening looking out into the backyard. There was a fresh blanket of snow, so the floodlight easily lit up the area. Soon a fox trotted in with a large rabbit in its mouth. The fox began to tear into the rabbit. After it had done its damage, the fox took the body in one direction, came back, and took the head into another direction. Oh my goodness. In a few minutes, the bloodied fox returned once more to wash up in the fresh snow, leaving a red blush to my urban setting. Oh my gosh, what a story. What do you think, Stanley Temple, that fox was doing?
Well, doing what foxes really like to do, and that's eat rabbits. Rabbits are one of their principal prey items, and of course, anyone who's a gardener in most urban and suburban areas know we have high populations of rabbits, which is one of the attractions to foxes. And foxes, when they catch something as large as a rabbit, they will cache parts of it and come back to feed on it later. So I suspect what the person saw was a fox may have filled its tummy and was trotting off with the various rabbit parts to cache them for a later snack.
Just putting it away for a later time. Let's go to the phones. Clarence in Jefferson County is with us. Hi, Clarence.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm calling from the northern part of Jefferson County, and we don't see very many foxes at all out here. And those that we do see, a lot of them look pretty mangy. Once in a while, you'll see a dead fox, you know, along the fence line or the tree line on the farms. And we do have an ample supply of pheasants and turkeys out here, but we see very, very few foxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the caller, right, has identified something that is an important factor in the populations of red foxes, and that is that they are quite vulnerable to mange. And a fox with mange generally has a pretty tough time making it through a Wisconsin winter because they lose their hair, lose their insulation. Foxes get a number of other diseases, a lot of the sort of standard canine diseases, canine distemper, canine parvovirus. And, of course, they also are vulnerable to rabies. They tend to die very quickly from rabies. And if we've looked at the historically at the populations of foxes in Wisconsin, not just in urban areas, but generally, they do sort of go through phases in which they're more abundant, in which they're less abundant. And there's been a number of speculations about exactly what drives the population sizes. Some people have thought that diseases really are very important in determining the numbers. Other people have certainly observed a trend, and that is that as coyotes become more abundant in Wisconsin, especially in some rural areas, the red fox and gray fox populations decline. There's competition and perhaps even direct predation by coyotes on foxes. And, of course, they said, you know, probably in terms of humans, something that has happened over the last several decades is that we simply aren't shooting and trapping as many foxes as we used to. People considered foxes, of course, to be very undesirable if they lived in the country and had free-ranging poultry because the fox in the hen house was not a fable. They certainly did take quite a bit of poultry. The other thing, too, is, of course, that red fox fur is quite valuable. And over the years, over time, the market for fur has risen and fallen, and certainly for wild trapped red foxes, there's sort of competition from domestically reared foxes. So all of these factors that could contribute to the longevity of foxes and their mortality have been very dynamic over time, but I would say recently things have looked pretty good for the red foxes, and especially so in the urban areas where they seem to not have quite as many of these problems that they have out in the countryside.
And we don't have to be worried about the fox that's just sitting in a garden when people are... we saw a photo of one at the Allen Centennial Gardens that just, you know, kind of looked at a person taking its photo with, you know, didn't care. That is that. Should we be worried that that fox has rabies and or is ill in some way?
No, probably not. The incidence of rabies is pretty low in foxes. But the thing that people are now observing is that these foxes, in the absence of any sort of persecution or people sort of harassing them, they've become totally habituated to us and are completely at ease around people. They just ignore us, essentially. And it has happened sometimes on a fairly large scale. There was a study a number of years ago looking at red foxes in the city of London, one of the largest cities in the world. And foxes, at least in London, really occupy the niche that we often think of raccoons occupying here in American cities. But the amazing thing to me was that when they tried to do a census of the red foxes in London, there were over 10,000 of them living in the city
Wow.
of London, which meant that their density of foxes in the city of London was even higher than it was out in the English countryside.
That is amazing. You know, speaking of the fox in the hen house, Shane on Facebook says, they are all over Baraboo. We have a vixen that has been having her kits behind our house for the last 3 years. It was great seeing them until she managed to kill all six of our chickens one day. So, not too happy about that, Shane says. However, I wanted to ask you about, I guess, the life cycle, the reproductive cycle. When is that vixen having those kits then?
Well, it'll be sort of mid-spring. So they will be mating here in the next couple of months, and will be giving birth in April and May. And it takes about 2 months to raise a young kit up. But if you're lucky enough to have one in an area where you can observe them in your backyard or on campus, they are really cute when they come out of the den, and like most young canine species, you know, they're very playful with one another. They generally raise four or five kits at a time, so watching the interactions of the young animals is really quite delightful.
You know, last year I did see a coyote right in on a residential street in Madison, and this was around the time when there were warnings in the west side of Madison and in some other cities about the coyotes attacking small dogs and even killing small dogs. Is the fox going to hurt my dog or my cat if it's outside?
No, unless you have a very tiny dog. Mm. No, the red foxes are much smaller than coyotes. They're only weighing sort of 10 to 15 pounds. And in fact, just as I said earlier, coyotes actually kill red foxes, presumably for some of the same reasons that they have attacked dogs. Some of it is perceived competition, getting rid of competition. They could perceive them as threats to their own young. But generally, red foxes are not going to bother your pets.
Well, you know, Ken in Cookeville, Tennessee, apparently has evidence to the contrary, Ken?
Yes, I do. I feed cats outside, and when I moved into the house, there were 10 cats that I were feeding outside. And one night, I kept hearing this screaming sound. It actually sounded like a woman screaming, and I actually got up and called the police and told them there was someone being attacked in my front yard. And they came out and looked around and everything like that. But of the 10, that fox got 9 of my cats.
Were they feral cats, Ken?
They were. I feed the outside cats. I have indoor cats, and I feared for them when they went out.
Yeah, and you're sure the fox got them and they just didn't go somewhere else?
No, I'm absolutely certain, because one night I heard the screaming, and I got up and looked out the window, and I saw the fox coming, and it had and it jumped right on the cat and took it down.
Yeah. So yep. What about a cat, Stanley?
No, that's definitely in the range. And I would say that most foxes are not going to tackle something like a cat. And in fact, I've seen a number of reports that actually suggested that foxes are kind of intimidated by cats. But once a fox has figured out that something is a potential food supply, and especially like most predators, they're attracted to areas where prey are concentrated. Once they figure out that it's possible, certainly a cat would be not an easy prey, but a potential prey for a larger fox.
Yeah, my 15-pound cat does not go outside, but a fox would have a hard time with Ray, let me tell you.
Right, and of course, I mean, having an outdoor cat exposes them, you know, not just to the odd fox that might be in the neighborhood, but lots of other hazards as well, including, of course, with the increase in coyote populations. That becomes a much more real potential for predation.
We are talking with Stanley Temple. He is a professor emeritus in conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. And we are talking with him about red foxes. There have been numerous reports of foxes spotted on the UW-Madison campus last week. So we're talking about all things related to foxes and other urban wildlife, if you have a question about those. Back after the news. We are talking with a wildlife expert about foxes and other wild animals, predators that live among us in urban and suburban areas. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37. On this Wednesday, November 20th. Our guest is Stan Temple. He is the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. We are talking about foxes. This topic came up because there have been numerous reports of foxes spotted on the UW-Madison campus last week, including a pair of foxes that were photographed, and we have posted that photo on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to check that out, along with the story. We had a caller who couldn't wait through the news, Stan, who said that he witnessed a deer and a fox playing. That's what he thought was happening anyway, and wondered how odd is this?
Well, I would say that's relatively unusual, but foxes do tend to be playful. And you can certainly observe foxes playing with one another, and I suspect what was going on there was that the deer was somehow interfering with something that the fox wanted. And they will tend to sort of dance around and circle and sort of be impatient for the animal to move on so that they can get back to possibly a meal. It's quite interesting. Foxes, of course, what was that old saw about the quick red fox or the quick brown fox?
Yeah, the brown fox.
Well, they are really very quick. A number of years ago, one of the students who was deer hunting on my land had a tree stand that overlooked a wetland area that had a major deer trail. And some deer had gotten hit on the road and stumbled off into the wetland and died and provided, of course, a feast for all the local scavengers, including coyotes and the red fox. And one morning I was up in the tree stand out of hunting season and looking at the carcass out there, and I noticed a red fox feeding on the carcass. And out of the cattails came a coyote. And the coyote kind of chased the red fox away. But it was very clear as you watched the coyote chasing the red fox that the red fox was much quicker, much more maneuverable, and was not about to be caught in open country running by a coyote. But they're fun to watch. They're agile. They move quickly. They can quite entertaining to watch. And I'm sure with the coming of mating season and perhaps having kits in a den somewhere on campus, there'll be lots of endearing photographs of foxes doing things.
Yeah, Jack on Facebook asked, do foxes use the same den year to year?
You know, they will, actually. If they've got a good den, they will use it multiple years. The dens, it's highly variable in the urban-suburban areas what they'll use. Out in the countryside, they tend to use old woodchuck burrows that were at least initially created by other animals. But in town, they'll be under buildings. They'll be sort of using human structures as shelter. And so, you know, piles of litter and things are a good substitute for them. I'm not sure if, on the Madison campus, my guess is that they're going to be associated, the den would be associated probably with the building.
Daryl in Bloomington is with us. Hi, Daryl.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is Daryl Ulovin from Bloomington, Wisconsin, and I founded the Wisconsin Fox and Wolf Hunters Association that was called Wolf Hunters because of the brush wolf. We weren't hunting gray wolves. But we worked real hard to get a season put on the fox because they are a valuable fur bearer, and they mainly live on field mice, and they don't really do much damage. But the mange wiped them out for years, and even though I had a special 243-06 Wildcat built for long-range fox and coyote shooting, I no longer shoot coyotes. I mean fox. I might shoot a coyote, but I want the fox to build up as much as possible because they're beautiful.
Yeah. So are they threatened in any way, Stanley Temple?
No, they're not. In fact, you know, in recent years, their populations have sort of been rebounding. And, you know, the caller sort of points out that fox hunting is actually a sport that some people pursue. And it is because of the British tradition of fox hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Of chasing foxes around the countryside with your dogs and while you're on horseback. Actually, when the British colonists came to the U.S., they were sort of without a fox, a red fox. The eastern U.S., the deciduous forest area, was populated by gray foxes, which I guess if you're into fox hunting are not nearly as sporting, perhaps because they live in the woods. But the British brought in foxes from England. So the genetic mixing of European foxes from the British Isles and our North American red foxes has meant that it's not unlikely that the red foxes that we're seeing here in Wisconsin might have some British genes.
Yeah, that's something. When Daryl said the brush wolf, what's that?
A coyote.
Oh, there we go. Just another name for it. Well, this Doug in Madison has a very strange story to share. It's kind of sad. Doug, what happened?
Well, thanks for taking my call this morning, Joy, and good morning, Stan. Mm-hmm. I'm a transporter. I have a small transport company, and I go to Indiana three times a week, and I actually live in Rice Lake. And I left home this morning, and I got on the on-ramp on Highway 53, and to confirm Stan's statement, there was a coyote chasing a red fox. They went right across the road in front of me, and unfortunately, I hit the coyote. And the coyote appeared to just about be on the verge of grabbing that red fox. So I kind of, when I tuned in this morning and I heard your conversation on the subject, I just felt compelled to call in and tell that story. And just as a footnote, about 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, an owl flew into my windshield. So I had second thoughts about taking my trip this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Those are the kind of interactions with wildlife you don't want to have.
Exactly. It certainly was. I'm an animal lover, you know, and for something like that to happen, it was just again, you know, not to be repetitious, but it really made me have second thoughts about leaving on my trip this morning.
Well, I hope the rest of the trip is better, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that. But I guess it illustrates, too, now I'm trying to think of Highway 53 where that was, but I mean here just in a matter of moments he has a coyote, a fox, and an owl, all you know, he's interacting with them in a way you don't want to be interacting, but it just kind of shows that they're pretty prevalent, I guess, Stanley.
Well, these interactions are getting more and more prevalent as more and more of these predators move in to areas where people are living. We have, of course, healthy populations of lots of predators, say, in the city of Madison. We've got quite a few birds of prey, ranging all the way from bald eagles and ospreys and peregrine falcons and red-tailed hawks and Cooper's hawks that just love Madison. They nest amongst us. They have case of Cooper's hawks use our bird feeders as a bird feeder.
Yep.
And but we also have quite a few predators when you start to tally them up. We've got from coyotes to red foxes to raccoons to opossums to skunks. It's actually quite a large list of predators that live among us. And as I said earlier, part of the reason for that increase in predators is a general change in people's attitudes toward these animals. They were persecuted in the past and kept their numbers down, but as we stopped persecuting them and started accepting them as interesting critters to have around, they've demonstrated that, hey, if you leave us alone, we're more than happy to live close to people.
Yeah, they do become accustomed to you, too. A couple of times now I've almost hit a raccoon lumbering across a street, but I'm going slowly enough that I didn't. And the raccoon will get up on the median or on the terrace and just turn around and look at me like, how dare you? You know, just very, just in a way, just looking at me and what am I doing with that car?
And I think the same thing is happening with foxes. They're going to be just as much of a sort of an urban resident as the raccoons have been for a while.
Johnson in Maple Bluff is with us. Hi, Johnson.
Good morning.
Morning.
You're taking the call. In Maple Bluff, there's been foxes for years. My partner and I do paper out. She says she's seen lots of foxes. And I go, no. But last spring, I finally saw one, and I couldn't believe it. But you can talk to her. She can tell you that when she said something to the police in Maple Bluff, they were like, well, you know, just leave them alone. You know, they're not. And so I guess there you've got to.
They've been around for a long time.
She said they've been around for a long time. So like you were pointing out, they've the tolerant. I know I saw a few years ago there was some killer was on the loose on Halloween night, and I heard this rustling behind me, and it was it turned out it was a skunk. I was shocked, and I reported it to the police. Don't worry about it, just leave him alone. So
yeah, just leave them alone, Stanley.
That's
when you
good
see
advice, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, these animals are not, for the most part, going to be any threat to you. Leave them alone and enjoy watching them at a safe distance. But basically, leaving them alone is why they're here and why they're thriving. And you know, we've done studies that compared the behavior of urban animals that have become accustomed to people, have become habituated to us, versus the same animal living out in the rural areas where some persecution still exists. And you can see dramatic differences in their behavior toward people. Urban crows, for example, if you go to an urban crow nest, they're not afraid of you at all. They'll sit there on the limb right next to you, you know, making a fuss as you climb to their nest to perhaps band their young. If you go out into the rural countryside and even approach a crow's nesting tree, the adult crows are off and gone, and you never see them again. So that tolerance, that acceptance of these animals, it leads to habituation, and you know they just become very familiar around us and ignore us.
Yeah, we are talking about foxes and other urban and suburban predators and wildlife, and welcoming your questions for our guest wildlife expert, Stanley Temple, who is a professor emeritus in conservation in the Department of Forestry and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. He's also a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. That is a vixen's scream, and that's one of the things a fox says, especially around mating season, which our guest says is getting underway. We're talking about foxes and other urban wildlife, in part because a lot of foxes have been seen on the UW-Madison campus recently. So we started to wonder, why are these foxes scampering around an urban campus? And thought we would do a show on fox behavior and biology, and welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Rich in Rice Lake. Hello, Rich.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. First, I have a little joke before my comment. Why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
No, to prove to the skunk, raccoon, deer, and possum it could be done.
I get it. Good one, Rich. Okay.
A few weeks ago, I was coming west on I-94 between Eau Claire and Osseo, and happened to look off to the right side, and here was two Hereford cows chasing a coyote across the field.
Really?
Yeah. Well, behind them was a couple of their calves. So, you know, the did I say fox?
Yes.
I meant coyote. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So a coyote was being chased by two cows. Maybe was that coyote interested in those calves and the cows protecting the calves? Maybe, Stanley.
I suspect that was the case. Sure, if it was a cow calf situation, I'm sure the mothers would still be defensive if a coyote came into their area.
Yeah, interesting. That must have been a sight to see. Let's go next to Justin in Madison. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I was calling because last year I was sitting in my living room and I heard this like noise I'd never heard before. I look out my window and it's a red fox and like an oversized house cat looked like, kind of squaring off against one another. They ended up both just running away from each other, but I was wondering how often foxes and like house cats tangle together.
Yeah, we touched
on
that.
Well, you know, we have a lot of free-ranging cats in Wisconsin and a growing population of red foxes, so they do interact with one another in some interesting ways. Usually, the encounters are relatively benign. Most observations suggest that cats are able to intimidate a fox and aren't really at any great risk. But clearly, a few individual larger foxes could prey on house cats. But there's another interaction that has been shown in the number of rural areas, and that is that as free-ranging cat populations increase, the number of foxes in an area decline, because in rural areas they're preying on exactly the same food supply, and the competition between cats and foxes often seems to turn out in favor of the cats, with the result that the fox populations decline.
Thank you very much, Justin. Lynn on Facebook says, I live in an area near Lake Sinisippi. About a year ago, I was running early in the morning and a fox came out onto the road, maybe 50 yards ahead of me, and barked at me. It then ran in a couple of circles, barked again, and then ran back into the brush. It was quite entertaining. Interesting. That fox was, what was that fox saying, hi?
Hard to say whether the bark was directed toward her or something else in the immediate area. But again, I think most people really enjoy the interactions with foxes. They're attractive animals. The fact that they're becoming so accustomed to us makes it easier to get these sort of intimate observations of fox life. And you're probably, listeners will be aware of the fact that there's been a virtual explosion of people who like to put these little miniature cameras on bird nests.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, in the city of Madison, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a red-tailed hawk nesting on the engineering campus. We had peregrine falcons nesting on power plant with cameras on the nest so that you can actually sort of eavesdrop on the lives of these animals. And I'm going to speculate that when these foxes get around to having young, that somebody's going to put a camera on them so that we can actually watch them as the young kits grow up.
So what can we do if we want to do something to help protect the future of our urban and suburban predators, including foxes?
Well, I think we've already done the major thing, and that is to leave them alone, not to persecute them. Other than that, we have provided a very desirable habitat for them, and they're more than anxious to occupy good quality habitat. Whether we're talking about birds of prey or mammalian predators, they're going to be increasingly around us in growing numbers. And that can only be, I think, viewed as a good thing. It exposes people to nature. They have a role, of course, even in the urban ecosystems as a predator on some of our species that many people consider pests, like rabbits and mice and squirrels and so on. So urban areas are dynamic ecosystems, and the fact that we've reestablished predators in that system probably is an indication that the ecosystem is healthier.
And in our final minute, if people have not seen the fox or foxes in their backyards, is there anything we can do if we actually want to go out looking for them?
Well, they're going to be restricted, of course, to their territories and home ranges. So if you get a report of a fox, you can certainly go in that area, and they do move around a lot so that you could see them. But it's not like a bird feeder type situation where there's something that you could do to attract them to your backyard. If you do have a fox in the neighborhood, however, boy, leaving your garbage can in an accessible position in the backyard would certainly probably attract a fox. Compost heaps attract them. Anything that offered a food supply might indeed have them stopping in your yard more often.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Stanley Temple is a professor emeritus in conservation at the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison, talking with us about foxes and other suburban and urban predators.